If you got your Bible, please turn with me to Philippians 1. Philippians 1 from verse 1 till verse 6. That's where we're going this morning. This is what it says. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you died for your church. That's how much you love it. You gave yourself for the church. You are passionate even right now for your church. You are currently interceding for your church. And one day, you will get a big church. And I pray today for Emmanuel Church, both in Durham and in Chester Street, for the work that you've started here, that Lord, one day, with the angels, we will stand and salute our great King, while at the same time celebrating what you've done here. We know, Lord, this is the beginning, but you have so much more in store for us. And I pray today, even as I bring the word, that you will come by your Spirit, begin to touch our hearts and empower us for all that you have for us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had a joke? It's a bear. A bear walks into a pub. And it comes to the counter, to the bartender, and he says, "Can I have a pint of lager?" It must have been a British bear. "Can I have a pint of lager and a packet of peanuts?" And the bartender was ever so surprised, and he looked at the bear, and he said, "Why the pause?" When you read this passage, this is how it starts. Paul and Timothy, comma. Which is Paul and Timothy, pause, servants of Christ Jesus. I'm just interested on whether you know who you are in Christ. Even as we start this morning. There are other passages in other books where Paul will start like this. Paul, comma, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. But Paul is very careful how he starts his letters. That every time he starts his letters, he starts with his name first before what he does. And he's able to leave a pause between who he is and what he does. So he's Paul first before he's an apostle. You have Timothy and Paul before they are servants of Christ. There was a day, one day, God decided that he was going to call you. But when he called you, he first called you by name to come to himself first, before he could call you into something. So you are not Prophet Paul or Prophet Joe. You are Joe, comma. And I wonder how many people are able to leave a pause between who they are and what they do. Because so much of what we see around the world revolves around what you do, which brings you identity. But when God called you, he gave you a name, and he called you by name. And one day, that name, not your prophetic gift, not your apostolic gift, not your gift of mercy, one day your name alone will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is important for us to know who we are first before we know what we do. And sometimes our titles and our gifts are so intertwined with who we are to a point that our identity comes from what we do rather than who we are. And Paul is very careful to help us to understand that it is first who he is, called by God first before he's called to be a servant. That even if Paul decided not to be a servant, God will still love him. God loves us just as we are. If you are not a believer here, as in if you do not follow Christ and you don't believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior, let me tell you a story that you might not be aware of. Jesus Christ came into this world and he died on a cross so that one day you might experience what it feels like to belong to God. And he did it by dying so that one day you might encounter something you've never encountered before. And that thing is the love that you do not deserve, the love that comes from the one who rules and reigns over the whole universe. There are at least over 7 billion people around the world at this point in time. And let me tell you this, Jesus Christ, who knows you very well, he knows the hair on your head and he knows everything about you and your fingerprint, because he's the one who designed all of that. Jesus Christ is interested in you and he knows your name and he wants to call you to himself. That's why he's calling this man called Paul by his name first and calling him to himself before he calls him to do something. And God is not trying to call you so that you might do something. He's calling you because he loves you and he cares for you. I just want to leave that with you right now, if you are not a Christ follower, for you to know the reason that God is calling you to himself is because he loves you and he knows. Out of all the 7 billion people, he knows your name, he knows every detail of your life, and he's interested in you. Not because he wants anything from you, but he just does love you. And I cannot fully explain and comprehend why he would love you so much, regardless of everything you think in your mind right now that you have done. A servant and servants of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Everything that you are, that God has called you to be, is not by chance, is by the will of God. If your gift is worship, you are first who you are, called by God, entrusted with a gift by the will of God. It is the will of God that you shall stand here and lead us in worship today. That we can call on the name of Jesus today. God has entrusted you to come and partner with us so that we might know God better. And that's where Paul is going with this passage. And then he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you always, in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership. But the interesting thing, before he gets to the partnership here, I want you to notice that he is not writing this letter just to an individual. He's writing this letter to people. Not people without names and faces, not a nameless, faceless army, but people with names based in this city of Philippi. But the way he writes is very interesting. He doesn't start by saying, to the overseers, deacons, and some Christians there, or to the overseers, deacons, and believers. But he starts first with the saints. And then he goes to deacons and to the overseers as well, or overseers and deacons. The reason for that, and why I would want to emphasize that, is because in the Christian community, there is no one democracy, but also there is no hierarchy. Democracy says there is no leadership, in a sense, if you think about it, because it means the people shall rule. Everyone, we rule. But God has given us leadership. But it is done in such a way that there is no hierarchy. So leadership in the church is not like that. It's not the leader here and everyone else here. That's why Paul doesn't start by saying the overseers, the deacons, and the rest of the church. He starts by saying the church, the deacons, overseers, and deacons. Which means it's not like that. It is like that. The people of God who have been entrusted with leadership are forerunners for us by telling us and helping us to know where God is taking the church. And we are following them as they lead the way and take us forward to where God is taking us. Trust is something that would help that to become a possibility. So I don't know how often you've ever gone to your leadership and say, I just want you to know, I do trust you. Because we live in a world that's very suspicious of leadership. We live in a world that's broken, that doesn't understand leadership, and does not understand authority. We are suspicious, and we ask questions that will suggest that we are checking you out. Just as an exercise, I'll be interested to know how many of you have ever come to your leaders and say, I just want you to know we are here for you, and we may not sometimes fully agree with some of the things or see where you're taking us, but I want you to know I trust you. That's a show of hand. I wasn't asking for a show of hand, but anyway. It's not about just trust in leadership. It's also about servant leadership as well. Because the way Paul does it is that he does not start with leaders here, because he understands that leaders are not the most important in the church. I was born in Africa. Leaders in Africa are the most important people in the church. You get your throne if you sign up for leadership on the stage with beautiful, beautiful gold around it, and it looks amazing. And you get a Rolls Royce. You get a helicopter. Who wants to sign up for African School of Leadership? Peter, you are reconsidering now. But that's not what God has called us to be. Leaders are there to really work with Christ and be like a scum of the earth. The last thing that you can think of. Because they're entrusted with something that's so precious. And that is the church. And Jesus is not coming for leadership. He is coming for the church. And the leaders are those who've been given the responsibility to serve Christ through the church. So leaders are servants, not people in high position. And if you are signing up for leadership in this church, you will be partnering with Christ to take up your cross and follow Christ. Because let me just be honest with you, it's not easy, it's really hard. But God is with you, and one day He'll be saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Trust and servanthood are two key things in the church. If we can't trust leaders, we cannot work with them. And if leaders can't serve, I don't think they deserve the trust. But anyway. But Paul then goes forward to talk about this beautiful partnership that he's so thankful to God for, that this church has been willing to partner with Paul in all that Paul has been doing around the world. Gospel partnership is one of the most important things that enables the gospel to go forward. Paul would never have been able to do what he did had he not have all the people that he had around him. Even as he writes this letter, he doesn't write just as Paul. He has a partner on a mission and his name is Timothy. And he's busy thanking the church and rejoicing, not because they are behaving, but he's rejoicing because they've joined him on this great mission. They have partnered with him on all that God has called for him. If you read Genesis 14, it speaks of Abraham and Lot. The Lot decided to go and leave because he was looking for this beautiful, well-watered area. And he ended up there. The Bible tells us that he pitched his tent outside Sodom. Later in Genesis 14, the Bible tells us that he was living in Sodom. You only have to pitch a tent outside Sodom. Before you know it, you are in Sodom. But Abraham, when he heard that King Kedorlaomer was wanting to conquer 3 other kingdoms, and one of them was Sodom, he knew that his brother Lot was in Sodom, and the Bible says he called out 318 men trained in his household so that he can go for war to save his brother who was in Sodom. Here's my question. What was Lot doing in Sodom? Lot had lost the key that enables the people of God to be fruitful, and that is partnership. He decided to go to Sodom and be very vulnerable and be away from the people that he was supposed to be working forward with to fulfill the great plan of God. But as for Abraham, when there was no war, Abraham was busy training people and looking for allies just in case one day war broke out, he would have those he could partner with so that he might win the war. There are 2 churches represented here, and that is Emmanuel Durham and Emmanuel Chester Street. Without partnership of the 2 churches, it is impossible for you to reach this place. Because you can only do well if you do things together. Your unity, which is the work of the Spirit, is so significant in everything that you are doing and you've yet to do. Deacons. Do you have deacons here? Let me just speak to you. You have been given an authority and a responsibility. But in your partnership, would you prefer, would you please resolve to prefer others and their ministries before yours? Because it's easy for you to focus on your own ministry and what you are doing and what God has given you to do and forget about other ministries. And I'm calling you to focus and sacrifice and give your heart and your prayer towards others and what they're doing. Because it is with other ministries that you would be able to fulfill your ministry. husband and wife, your partnership together is significant for gospel advance in this church. So my question to you, I guess, would be, do you support one another in the ministry that God has called you? Or if God has called your wife into something, are you for her? Are you on board, fully supportive, not only behind the scene, but in the most verbal of ways? If God has called your husband into something, are you on board, or are you saying, if that's for you, it's got nothing to do with me? God wants you to be partnering together to fulfill his mission. But secondly, God is also calling you to partner with the leadership of the church for the great mission that he's called this church into. And the question is, do you come together as a couple and whinge about leadership, or are you for leadership? I just want to park that over there and just say, let it settle. Together, we can accomplish so much more than we can apart. It is important that we see partnership as one of the key things in gospel advance. And that's what Paul is trying to help us here. Different generations in this church. The young people, students, you cannot fulfill everything that you want to fulfill in this city without other generations. Because there are those around here that God has given the wisdom and the experience, who, by the way, you can benefit from them if you really are working together. Are you being discipled, partnering with others to say, I cannot run this race by myself and fulfill the call of God upon my life. I need those around me. Let it not be just a group of young people gathering together. Try and feed off those who are around you as well, which are people who are older than you, who might have some of the things you don't have. And older people, you can't say they are too young, they don't have experience. They have longevity, and they have quite a lot, actually, of the things that you might not have. It is important for the gospel that together we are working for the advancement of the kingdom of God in this city. What about the different cultures here? Today was a great day. It has been a great day celebrating and singing songs in like Yoruba and other languages. Let me tell you this. This is not a mistake that God has somehow brought a few people here just maybe to spice up things a little bit. That's not what God is trying to do. In order for you to reach the city, you're going to have to partner across cultures in a way that you've never partnered before, because you need one another for the advancement of the kingdom of God. You need Ghanaians in this church because they're going to help you to understand how to reach Ghanaians in this city. You need... Did someone say they're from Uruguay over there? Somewhere in the corner. Paraguay. I'm sure you can understand why I'm making a mistake there. The church cannot, in a multicultural society, just reflect one culture. There is no way that we are going to take the gospel to this city. As Emmanuel, we love the city, Durham, that God has called us to be in. And by the way, sometimes we're going to have to step out of our comfort zone to embrace people of other cultures so that we might be able to reach people from those cultures as well. And I'm so excited that in your leadership, there is multiculturalism. And that is people from the south and the north. No, I'm kidding. true. that you are beginning to embrace, not at just a saints congregation level, but also at the leadership level, where together you are saying, Taibo, you can help us here. We need your help. We cannot do this without your help. Come and speak into this context. And you're not just here to sit in and listen. You are here to contribute because you are part of us. We are comrades together. I come from South Africa. We play rugby there. A scrum without everyone in the scrum cannot happen. But also, scrum half is ever so important. Because even if he throws the ball in the scrum into this hole, it looks like children play in the mud when they're having a scrum. Have you not seen that? So he will throw the ball into this, and he'll stand like this so that the ball might be brought to him, and he takes the ball and he distributes it. And without him, there is no scrum. You might have a hook, you might have all these people here, and they might be strong, but without him, it cannot happen. And by the way, without this person from this culture, you cannot reach this city. And without this person, with his and her experience, as a couple, doing freedom in Christ, we cannot reach this city. We need one another in this scrum because together we can push forward and we can get to the other side. And that is why gospel partnership is so important. But we are not just reaching our city, we are reaching the world. In case you did not realize that. And Paul doesn't just say to Alan and the leadership of the church, Ali and the leadership of Chesley Street, to the deacons of this church, and to the saints of this church, you are doing really well in your partnership in the gospel. He goes further. He says, I thank my God always for the partnership I have with you. Paul is not part of the church. Because partnership for gospel advance is partnership across the nations. Which means all of you have the opportunity to partner with apostolic ministry to see the gospel of the kingdom of God change the world and change cities and towns and villages across the world. It is important for you to understand that your faith contributes to the significant move of the gospel of the kingdom of God and the trend that we've been seeing around the world. When nations and unreached people groups are reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, your faith is ever so important. And your willingness to give this morning is part of that, that enables the gospel to go to the nations. You cannot achieve the plan of God, the great plan of God that was given to Abraham. You cannot achieve it by yourself. You need the Colin and Navaz in Pune in India. And you might think, we are giving them money. We are supporting them. We are sending Ian. We are doing this. We are doing that. No, you're not. You are working together for the growth of the gospel around the world. Let me just give you a few things about partnership that I feel are very important. Number one, partnership is Trinitarian. God decided that he wanted to create the world. And he created the world. The Bible tells us the Spirit of God was hovering above the face of the earth. And that is the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God spoke, and everything that is here now that exists existed. Because God spoke, and in John the Bible tells us that in the beginning there was this Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Who is that? Jesus Christ. So God's mission of creating the world, He did not just create it as just God the Father. The Trinity was at work partnering so that everything you see around us can happen and exist. If God loves partnership, can we accomplish what we want to accomplish without partnership? It didn't stop there. Jesus was sent to this world to come and redeem a people for God, which He decided to do. And if you read the book of Luke, it tells us that everything that Jesus did it to obey the Father, but also by the power of the Holy Spirit. How did Jesus heal the sick? By the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 4, how did Jesus overcome temptation? By the power of the Holy Spirit. How did Jesus cast out demons? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did everything by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you skip forward and you go to John, He says, I only do what I see my Father do. Which means everything happens within partnership in the Godhead. And then later, He sends the disciples in partnership to go out there. And He said, go two by two. You need a partner. Go and take the gospel forward. James, John, and Peter, partnership. They're working together. And let me say this. For us, for you to fulfill your ministry, you're going to need partners. People to work with. If you are a prophetic person here, you need partnership with other gifts, working together with other gifts to fulfill everything. Because Jesus decided it should be that way. If you here are trying or have been leading a life group, you need partnership. If you are an overseer here, you need partners. If you are a deacon here, you need partners. If you want to reach this city, you need partners. If you want to reach the nations of the world, you need partners. Everything you're going to do, you're going to have to do it in partnership, because God did everything in partnership. Secondly, partnership is costly. In Acts 20, Paul planted a church early, and he's supposed to go back to Jerusalem, and he goes to see the Ephesian elders, and he spends time with them. These are people he's partnering with in Ephesus, and he spends time with them, and the Bible tells us that when he said to them, you will never see my face again, they wept. And the Bible says, what grieved them the most was the statement, you will never see my face again. Why was that? Because there was partnership. It is very costly. Let me tell you why I say it's costly. Because if you're going to partner with the nations in apostolic ministry, with the leadership of the church, and everything that you are doing, sometimes it's going to require you laying down certain things to embrace other things. Sometimes it's going to require you giving out your best into other parts of the world. Sometimes it's going to require you having to give financially in the same way as you did this morning. It is not easy. It is very costly. And I don't want you to think that partnership is just really good. It is good because it's from God, but there is a cost to it. We need to count the cost in gospel partnership. Thirdly, partnership is robust. And this one I want to speak to you as a church prophetically. The gospel, it's a robust gospel. And I want to say, be robust in your gospel partnership for world evangelization. Be robust for gospel partnership, in your gospel partnership for a city impacting church. Be robust in your partnership as life groups for the sake of your neighbors. And I believe that God wants to call you. You know, the UK is known as a very polite nation. I believe God wants to, almost, not in an ungodly way, He wants to call you into robustness. you like to queue up for everything. The time of queuing up is over. This is not, Christian life is not a polite lifestyle. You are wielding a sword behind enemy lines. And you cannot do it without your brother and sister standing next to you. But you have to cross the enemy lines because you have giants to kill. And you cannot do it without others. It's time for us to be robust. What you want to study as a student, be robust. Where you're going to buy a house, robustness. You have time to spare over the holidays, be robust. You have decisions to make about the future. I have some good news for you. The world needs Jesus. Why don't you get involved? We're not queuing anymore. We're not waiting for someone else to have a go. God is saying you can all have a go at the same time. And lastly, gospel partnership is for gospel advance. Paul says in Romans 15, I make it my ambition to preach Christ where Christ is not preached yet. I believe gospel partnership brings holy ambition in the life of the church to enable that church to do things that the church has never done before. And let me ask you, do you have this holy ambition to do things for Jesus as a son and a daughter known by Christ, by you are known by your name? Do you have the holy ambition to take the message of Christ where Christ is not proclaimed yet? You cannot do it on your own. You need others. But the world out there needs Jesus like you've never seen before. And let me caution you, as you make that decision, it's not going to be easy. But he who began a good work in you will see it to completion. There was a day that this building was never like this. There was a day that you used to meet, you met in the school. There was a day that Alan wasn't a minister. There was a day that some of you were still in the south of England. But in God's authority, in God's sovereignty, in God's plan, he decided to speak to Alan. He decided to gather the first few people here. He decided to provide a location for you. He decided that one day you will see and spot this building. He decided that those people in the council who were opposing you will move and go to another part of the world. He decided that you will get planning permission for this place. He decided that you will have the money that you need for this place. He decided that one day he will gather people and save people in this city. He decided that he will bring students from other parts of the UK or this nation to come to this city and to stay, to get married and to be part of this church. He decided that one day you will gather the nations of the world and celebrate the grace of God. He decided that one day he will take this church into the ends of the world, and he who began that good work in you will see it to completion. One day that work that began that day will be fulfilled. And the question is, do you believe that? This is a domino effect. It starts out of nothing. It's a dream. And from a dream, it becomes a desire. And from a desire is a people. And from a people is the nations. And from the nations is the ends of the earth. That's how it's going to happen. And it cannot happen without partnership. Let us partner together for gospel advance so that the nations of the world might know Jesus Christ, and the city of Durham and the town of Chester Street might be rich for Jesus Christ. And you cannot do it just as Emmanuel, and you cannot do it just as an individual. And by the way, as you do it, God knows who you are by name. And one day, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's all stand.